brought to you by GMSDC Radio and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Let's Talk Small Business with your host, Stacy Key.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Let's Talk Small Business. I am Stacy Key, the president and CEO of GMSDC, and your host. It's good to be here with you this week as we kick off this beautiful, beautiful February in Hotlanta. And it's not so hot today, unfortunately. It's a little bit chilly. And joining me as we kick off this edition is Sylvia Neely David. Sylvia, how are you doing today?
Great, Stacy. Thanks for having me again.
I'm excited because this month is Black History Month. And then also this month, we're going to be celebrating, I think, the week of February 16th, Small Business Week in the state of Georgia.
Absolutely.
And then we're going to also have some other exciting activities with our minority businesses kicking off their kickoff, correct?
Yes, that's our annual kickoff this year, February 16th. It's going to be hosted by Georgia Power from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And we got lots of good buyers and speakers and lots of information about what we call Tier 2 contracting. So if you're interested in contracts, Georgia Power, February 16, 9 to 11 is the place to be.
See, that's the place to be only for people that are serious about growing their business, people that have a plan, and people that want to come and make some contacts and build some relationships to help grow their business, right?
Absolutely.
It is not for the faint of heart. You need to come serious, come prepared, and ready to do business.
Absolutely, because we have buyers, and they're ready. And they're ready and prepared to talk about what is Tier 2, how do you get in the pipeline, what do you need to do to prepare yourself? And so if you want to grow your business and you want to get in the supply chain of some of the best and largest businesses in this country, be there.
I will tell you, if this is your first time listening to us at Let's Talk Small Business, this is the show that is going to bring you information that you can't get anyplace else. It's bringing relevant information to help small businesses and entrepreneurs grow. It's giving you the ins and outs, tips, techniques, all the things that you need to help your business grow. It's here on Let's Talk Small Business every Tuesday at 11:30 a.m. You don't want to miss it. Tune in, get to the internet, get it programmed so that you've got it so that you can listen to us every single week. Now, as part of your kickoff meeting, you have got a keynote speaker that I think is pretty impressive.
Very impressive.
And so, and their focus is going to be on this whole tier two and tier two opportunities, because that's a place that many small businesses have to grow.
Exactly.
They can't be primes because, again, if you're trying to be a prime to a company such as a Home Depot, you've got to be big, bad, and audacious.
Absolutely.
And so Tier 2 offers an opportunity for you to still play. It offers relevant opportunities, and it gives you an excellent opportunity to grow your business.
Absolutely. And it provides you with a great, solid past performance. I think sometimes MBEs forget the fact that sometimes you got to get in a place where you can learn, you can grow, and get the past performance underneath your belt. And so we're very, very fortunate. We have our keynote speaker from the Home Depot, Sylvester Johnson, and we are delighted because he has so much knowledge and expertise in this area. And we're just delighted that he's agreed to come in and provide that expertise to MBEs on February 16th.
And he is joining us today to share with us some of his thoughts and nuggets of wisdom about Tier 2 and how minority and small businesses can position themselves to play in this arena and be successful in growing their business. Sylvester, welcome.
Good morning, ladies. How are you doing today?
We're excited that you're joining us.
And I'm super excited to be here.
Now, Sylvester, before we jump into this Tier 2, can you take a moment and let's talk about your journey at the Home Depot? You've got an impressive career. He's Mr. Finance on the side. He's doing supply diversity. He's got all these talents and skills. Take a minute and talk to us about your career and your journey at the Home Depot.
Well, to me, finance is like drawing. I could do it, but I don't like it very much.
Oh, so. Okay. But you're talented at it.
Absolutely.
Got skills.
So, again, my name is Sylvester Johnson. I've been with the Home Depot for nearly 17 years. This May will make 17 years, and I've had about 12 different roles since I've been with the company.
Wow. So seasoned. So
yeah,
seasoned.
Very seasoned.
And
experienced.
Bit, like grandma's collard greens. So I started out working in stores. I left the store as a department manager of the paint department From there, I actually moved from Montgomery, Alabama to Atlanta, where I worked in an analytical role for strategic finance. And I actually did that for about a year and a half. I spent a couple of years leading our truck and tool rental division, doing inventory management on that side.
Okay.
Spent a couple of years in our delivery fulfillment and transportation and supply chain. My last role prior to leading supplier diversity, I actually led inventory planning and sourcing for HomeDepot.com.
Oh, excellent, excellent. You bring a plethora of experience to the table, and a great person to be speaking at the NBIC kickoff on February 16th.
I'm looking forward to it.
So this Tier 2, talk to us about Tier 2 and your thoughts or and your philosophy around how small businesses and minority business can capitalize on this and doing business in this space.
So for me, I think if you sort of consider my last year in supplier diversity, with speaking with a lot of MBEs, it just appears to me that it's the better option for MBEs to really connect with large corporations like the Home Depot. As you said, to do business with an $85 billion monster like the Home Depot, you have to be a monster in your own route and in your own right in terms of volume, in terms of having your organizational structure.
You got to have infrastructure. You got to bring it to the table.
Yeah, from an employee standpoint, from a technology standpoint, and from an operational standpoint as well. And if you look at the MBE community, a lot of MBEs haven't really gotten there yet. And so at the Home Depot, we really don't look for businesses to come in to win a project. We look for strategic partners. And so as a strategic partner, you have to be able and willing to grow and have the organizational structure to grow with the Home Depot despite the industry.
And you mentioned three things. You've got to have the infrastructure, technology, and employees to be able to support a Home Depot. Touch a little bit on each one of those, if you would, because we talk about infrastructure and having that infrastructure. And I think many of the small businesses don't realize, you know, they come to the table saying that with stars in their eyes and they say, I want to do business with Home Depot. Mm-hmm. And it's me and mama at the house.
Right.
And it's very difficult to do business with Home Depot if you don't have infrastructure, if you don't have the technology, if you don't have employees. So talk about that so that people understand, the small business understand, what is it you need to play this game?
So typically what will happen is small businesses will go look for the business before they think about having an organizational structure or infrastructure to support the business. A more intelligent business or someone who's prepared to do business with a large corporation, they will have the infrastructure set. And then when the volume comes, they'll be able to operate efficiently and effectively. And so that's really down from your employees, from your technology infrastructure, from the way you manage your supply chain from end to end, depending what industry you're in, on how effective you are at managing your services and your willingness to grow your service capability to support a large corporation and things of that nature.
And you mentioned supply chain. And so as these companies, you know, I'm looking to do business with Home Depot. Many of these companies that want to do business don't think about their own internal supply chain. And so how important is it that they've got a supply chain and they're doing business with other small and minority businesses as part of their infrastructure to do business with Home Depot?
So for me, I think that's paramount when you're first starting the business, because you have to grow scale and you have to have the scale in order to engage with a large corporation. And you get that scale by doing business with those individuals that look like you. I think that's the perfect way to start. You don't start going after a corporation. So my motto in life is you crawl before you walk, you walk until you jog until you run. Same philosophy you use in business, right? So you crawl by starting out your business, starting to engage with individuals in your community that can help grow your business. If you want to do a joint venture and you're thinking about that route, that's definitely an option as well. But you have to get to the point to where your infrastructure has the ability to grow with the organization that you want to do business with that corporation that you want to do business with. Because with larger corporations, we're always looking at growth. And we're looking at year-over-year growth, and we're also setting a strategy for growth. And so the individuals that we have that strategic partnership with, they have to have the same mindset.
Wow.
This is good stuff. We picked the right person to be the keynote speaker. I'm convinced.
I stayed up all night and practiced in the mirror, so I hope I sound good.
Oh, yeah, you sound good now. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Impressive. We're going to have to send this over to home, you know, send it over to the, they're going to be impressed. I'm telling
absolutely.
You.
Woo-wee.
I hope so. Thank you. Hopefully I can get a raise.
Okay, here we go. And so, again, I'm just capitalizing on some mm-hmm. things you're saying. You talked about joint ventures. You talked about alliances. And as you look at your partners that come to the table, how many of them come as joint ventures and or alliances? Because many small businesses struggle in this space. There's an issue with this JV and partnership because there's a matter of control, who's taking the lead, and 100% of zero is still zero.
Absolutely.
And so I'm a big proponent of JVs and partnerships because it gives you scale. You can set it up exactly the way you want it. Mm-hmm. It allows you to go after opportunities you otherwise would not have the opportunity. So what percentage of the companies come to the table, to the Home Depot, with JVs and or alliances to do business?
In my past year experience, about 0.5%.
That's not even a whole percent. You said 0.5.
Yeah. But not only that, I think there's an unwillingness as well. Considering the things that you just named, and being an entrepreneur, of course, you want that ownership and
control.
Exactly. And you mm-hmm. want the control, but you have to think about the bigger picture and think about promoting a more global perspective for your company if that's where you want to take it. Right. You can't have the thoughts and aspiration of a larger company where if you're not willing to do the things to get you there. And sometimes having a joint venture or sometimes doing the things that you don't want to do to get to where you want to be. It's what it takes for you to really grow your business to the next level.
Now, Sylvester, I have been asking MBEs to get involved in partnerships and joint ventures. And as a matter of fact, the MBE focus this year is tier two contracting and also, you know, partnerships, MBE partnerships of all kinds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so do you think that's a good focus to grow MBEs?
I think it is the primary focus because it's really unlikely, and this is really based on my experience for the last year, it's unlikely that you will find an MBE that's ready to really engage and really handle the amount of volume that a large corporation like Home Depot is asking a company to handle. So we're not talking $2 or $3 million jobs or $200,000 contracts. We're talking about billion-dollar segments of the business that we're asking our suppliers to handle, right?
So,
okay. So you know what? Let me ask, when you talk about billion-dollar segments, is the Home Depot looking to expand the number of suppliers, or are they looking to reduce the number of suppliers, making them more strategic?
Definitely looking to reduce through our supplier rationalization because it's better for us to do business. It's better for us to operate our businesses if we actually handle a strategic partnership with fewer firms that has the scale to handle our national presence.
Okay, so let's just be clear that people understand what supplier rationalization is.
Yep.
And then as you talk about that, talk about risk, because no one wants risk.
Yep.
This is all about mitigating and lowering risk.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk about it in relation to risk, because that's the name of the game. Nobody wants risk.
All right. So from a risk standpoint, the onus is on the company that we do business with to manage all the subcontracts associated with that particular job or that particular initiative. From us, from a Home Depot standpoint or perspective, we're actually dealing with one supplier. For instance, if it's, you know, refacing our stores or upgrading the lighting in our stores, we don't want to have 2,000 different suppliers for all 2,000 stores that we have, right? So we want to make sure that we're doing business and we have a strategic alliance or a strategic partnership with that one individual supplier or two or three, depending on how much is required to cover the country, that they understand what our goals are in terms of completing that project and doing it efficiently and cost effectively, more importantly, but also they're aligned with what our end goal is. And we don't have that alignment across, you know, 2,000 different suppliers. It's maybe one or two or maybe four, depending on the industry.
So, Sylvester, are you seeing that as a trend across most organizations? I know you have colleagues that you interface with and you know a lot about the industry. Hmm. Or is that something that Home Depot has chosen to do?
No, I would say based on my conversations with my peers that it's pretty much across the board in terms of corporations. Again, it's just the right business decision. It's the right business decision for corporations like the Home Depot and any other corporations to make sure they streamline their processes as it relates to vendor management and managing the projects associated with what the company's trying to do.
See, that allows you to lower your cost, be
Absolutely.
More efficient,
mm-hmm.
and drive, you know, yes, yeah, drive costs out of supply chain.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, you want to move in that direction. So if I'm lowering the number of suppliers, the volume that each supplier is taking is getting larger.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They're strategic. I'm lowering my risk as associated with that. It would seem that anybody that's a prime at the Home Depot is got, like you said, is taking on $1 billion segments because that's who you are. You're a billion dollar company.
Mm-hmm. But see, the opportunity is still there, though. Although we have that supplier rationalization strategy, the opportunity and the work still needs to be done. And so that's what makes Tier 2 a more attractive option for small and minority companies. Although they're not the owner or they don't have total control, they still can actually benefit from the volume associated with that particular project.
Absolutely, because you still can supply your good or service to that prime. The product is still needed. Mm-hmm. It's just needed from fewer suppliers. The volume is still there.
Absolutely.
And so there is where the opportunity exists.
So, Sylvester, will you be providing MBEs with some recommended next steps to align to be a Tier 2, Tier 3 contractor?
Absolutely. But I think the advice that I would give any MBE that's listening is to learn the organization first, right? Do your homework about the Home Depots, I won't say the blue people's name, but I'll give another.
Yeah, you can say the UPSs or the Deltas.
Those individuals that I like. I don't like the other people who are in Home Improvement.
Is there anyone else? We're unfamiliar.
Yeah, you should. You should do your homework, right? Fully understand what the need is of that particular corporation and how your capabilities can fulfill that need. And if you don't have the capabilities to fulfill that need, go out and get them before you try to engage with that particular corporation.
Let me ask you this question because I get this. Supply chain, because I don't think each supply chain has got some nuances, but mm-hmm. many of our business owners don't spend the time to understand the supply chain and how it works.
Yep.
How valuable do you think that is that a small and minority business understand the supply chain, how it works, what are the triggers, how it flows? Now, Home Depot may have some nuances versus the Coca-Cola company,
yep.
but if I understand supply chain and my role in it
mm-hmm.
and the value, even more importantly, that I can bring. How important is that?
Well, I think it's important to understand how you would fit in the optimization of that supply chain.
How
you would make it more run efficiently and also squeeze out cost or save cost for that particular corporation.
So when a business owner comes to the table to say, I want to talk to you about doing business with Home Depot, and let me tell you how I can lower your costs, increase your value, you're all ears.
Yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to saying, listen, I got a product and I'm here to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
How many can you take?
Right.
Because you got lots of people coming to the table with lots of products that want to sell you.
Absolutely. Products and services.
Wow. So that means you have to really do homework to understand how you can help optimize the supply chain for any particular company.
Mm-hmm.
Because in some cases, you may not be able to do that. You may be able to keep costs status quo.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Interesting. And so as we, Sylvia, approach the meeting on the 16th, I'm thinking through, you know, as Sylvester talks, there's got to be some next steps beyond that meeting to ensure business owners are prepared for this Tier 2. And how do you play? Now, Sylvester, at GMSDC, our focus is around primes this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's tying very closely with the NBIC to make sure mm-hmm. our strategies are aligned. And so we want to make sure the primes have access to all the business owners. So there's build relationships, they can meet and greet and that piece of it. What advice would you give business owners in terms of greeting, building relationships with the primes? Now, yep. I've already determined I can't do business with Home Depot as a prime because I'm just not big enough. But I've identified two primes that I think I can build a relationship with, and I think I can add value to their supply chain because I'm assuming they have supply chains as well.
Yeah, I think the process is the same and the mindset is the same.
Okay.
From an MBE perspective, I think you have to fully understand where you fit. And really, you know, face the facts of where you are as a company. If you are ready to be a prime, and then you take that step. But if you're not, I think you have to build, again, the infrastructure and the scale to get there if that's where you choose. But mm-hmm. if you're already prime material and you're able to do business with a large corporation, then I think you, again, you have to do your homework, figure out where you fit from an operational standpoint with the company, or what needs or what services you can provide to fill a need for that particular corporation. And then you just, you know, you have to be patient.
You know, okay, so let's talk about this patient, because everybody is about instant. So exactly. I meet you, Sylvester, on Monday. Yeah. By next Thursday, I'm expecting a contract of some sort. So let's talk about what's patient mean. Please define patient.
The duration of patience could be 1 to 100 years, depending on how persistent you are. I actually get the conversation all the time when I talk to small businesses. They say, well, I've engaged the Home Depot for the last 10 years and I've gotten nowhere. I actually have followed the process. I am in your system. I haven't received a call, or, you know, you're like the third leader I've talked to, and I'm still trying to get my foot in the door. Again, it just takes patience. There's many different functions across the Home Depot, and, you know, of course, we turn over people just like everyone else, and so it's actually a matter of re-engaging. But not just that, our infrastructure changes and our business model changes, and what was important 2 or 3 years ago may not be important now. So I think it's extremely imperative that businesses stay in tune with what's going on with that organization. The individuals that I have seen be successful with the Home Depot, they are patient, but they still have a positive mindset as it relates to the growth of that particular organization and where they're going, and they still stay in contact or still do their homework with where Home Depot has been or any other corporation has been and where they're trying to go. And I think that will help expedite the process of getting one of those prime contracts.
I know people shortcut that research, and I think your annual report, meeting with the investor community, all of that has relevant information to kind of to share where the Home Depot and any other corporation is going. But I find that people shortcut all of that to kind of get to the, I just need a contract.
Yeah, well, I always tell them, I say, look, you know, Home Depot is a public company. There isn't much that we do that's not publicized.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so you can get it all. Yeah,
anything that you want to find out about the Home Depot, it's out there somewhere.
Excellent. And so what kind of trends are you seeing? Because when I think about primes and meetings, some companies are setting up sessions. Are you seeing anything around primes and meeting with primes throughout the country? Not just Home Depot, but maybe some trends or your peers?
Well, I just think, and this is just my personal opinion based on, again, my experiences, if you really separate professional services and manufacturing, there's more opportunity in manufacturing.
Okay.
I actually think I saw some numbers, I heard some numbers last week, that only 13% of manufacturing, only 13% of minorities represent manufacturing in that particular sector.
Right.
I think we're fully saturated in professional service. So you pick the professional service, right?
From you got
maintenance
a couple.
To the IT to whatever else, you know, anything that falls under that umbrella, it's very competitive. But when you look at manufacturing or distribution or whatever it is, I think it's more of an opportunity there to really get a contract as a prime supplier with a corporation. Manufacturing, with the emergence of e-commerce and the dot-com space, if you have the ability to drop ship, and your product fits the actual product line or the assortment that company is looking for, you can easily get in the door. Now it's up to you on how you market and get an exposure. But as a manufacturer, I think it's an easier entry process to do business with a retailer like the Home Depot. As a professional service provider, it's a lot more difficult because if you pick the industry, it's very competitive, from legal to, again, you just name it.
There's a lot of players in that field.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because if you, and again, I'm a student of supplier diversity for the last year. If you really look at the history of supplier diversity, it really started as a professional services type initiative. And really a lot of those services, when minorities thought about getting into business and also engaging
the GMSDCs.
Like the GMSDC and MSDCs, it was all written in the professional services arena. No one really considered manufacturing, right?
Because manufacturing requires assets.
Absolutely.
And so it requires, and assets is another name for money and capital.
Yeah.
And so professional services, I can leave my company, I'm doing legal, and I can put out my shingle, and so I don't need anything but me and you know, my skills.
Exactly.
Manufacturing, I require something else.
That's where those joint ventures are that much more important. If you combine your assets, you have bigger assets, and you have the ability.
I like this. Absolutely. Really tap into so, Sylvia, we could form a manufacturing company if we can get somebody.
We can
go do some business with the Home Depot or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then on the professional services side, as you said, that we have MBEs here in Georgia, a large part of them are professional services. Mm-hmm. Is that a prime opportunity to do tier two or tier three?
It is, or even
fit
prime.
In the supply chain,
or even prime. If you can actually join forces with some key players in your particular industry on the professional services side.
Now that's
and form a larger, greater organization and figure out the legalities around who gets what.
And you can bring some other large players to that table as well.
Absolutely.
And you could do some things there.
Yes. It all depends on what's important to you. If control is important to you, then you keep beating the pavement and
you can stay small
and stay small and
control
stay
a small company.
But if you really want wealth, and I think we all want wealth, I think you have to compromise some of those things that you don't want to do in order to get to where you want to be.
Wow. I know. It's just, you know, and as we're talking, I'm thinking GMSDC needs to, you know, as a follow-up from the February 16th, is to have this JV. I think something structured around the JV and this infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Again, harping on people don't want to hear it, but it's key. Sure. If you want to really grow this thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And again, it's a matter of what your priorities are. If you really don't want to grow, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You want to maintain a lifestyle business, it's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But if you want to be big, bad, and audacious, I was looking at the since it's Black History Month, I was looking at the BE 100, which came out yesterday. Oh. Number one is Worldwide Technology.
Wonderful.
Number two is Janus.
Wow.
Act One.
Uh-huh.
Number two, our very own Global Automotive Group with Sylvester Hester and Bill Picard. They're number seven
the
list.
That's
number seven. And then you've got H.J. Russell, you've got Gourmet Services, you've got BNS Electric, David Moody, all on the list of the BE 100, all right here.
I am a fan of all of those individuals. Not surprised about Sylvester. I mean, something great about that name. I just think.
Sylvester, yeah,
just a little bit.
Yeah, but just looking at those companies, I will tell you, but they've done it all through partnerships.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Global partnerships is what they've done. Mm-hmm. Alliances and partnerships.
Absolutely.
So that is outstanding.
Actually, a couple of years ago, we had Sylvester Hester come and talk to the group about partnerships and alliances. So he has an incredible story to share that's an example of just what we're talking about. So I think MBEs are in store for a treat on the 16th because I've been blown away today.
Yeah, I have too. And so, Sylvester, as we're wrapping up, we've got just a few minutes left. I know you've imparted a lot of wisdom already, but what would be the final nuggets that you would share with our minority and small businesses as they're listening? We just need to continue this discussion. I know this is mm-hmm. just the beginning of a dialogue,
right.
But what would be your parting words be today as we're wrapping up?
Parting words is how I always part when I do a panel. I think to me it depends on where your values lie, but I think you have to have a willingness to do business with those individuals that look like you. I think that's where it starts in this particular space. When you start there, I think it's a lot easier to make that transition when you get a lot larger and you have the scale and the infrastructure to do bigger and better things, because the individuals who start out as a minority business, they're good at something, right? They're either good at painting or good at something that they started their career in, and they turned it into a business.
Mm-hmm.
And they really didn't become a good business person during the process, because when you're a good business person, you know about, you know, HR and finance. Mm-hmm. You know a little bit about mm-hmm. a lot to make sure that the business is running smoothly. And I think we don't really take the time to do that. That's why you see a lot of businesses fail in the minority community. But if you start out doing business with those individuals that look like you, there's a lot of learnings in that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You learn how to take your business from a, you know, $500,000 business to $1 million business. You learn
work
how
out
to
the
prepare.
Kinks along the way.
Absolutely. You learn how to prepare mm-hmm. to be a better business and have everything in line or a contingency mm-hmm. if things fall through the cracks. And you learn about the importance of setting strategy and learning how to execute on the tactical components of that strategy and a go-forward strategy. So I think it really takes time to take your business from a small mindset or a business that thinks small to a business that thinks big, and there's a lot of learnings along the way.
Wow. I will tell you, they are in store for an exciting meeting on February 16th. That is going I'm glad I'm going to be there.
Good.
Sylvia, so tell us the details again about February 16th. where you got to be, what do you got to do, okay. Where you got to register.
Good deal. Again, it's the MBEIC kickoff. It's our annual meeting where we get together and try to help MBEs grow. We're going to focus on Tier 2 contracting. And our keynote speaker, again, is Sylvester Johnson. And to register, and you must register because it's located at Georgia Power, and you will have to register. Please go to gmsdc.org under events, and there is a registration. Tickets are $25. I think we kept it at a minimal because we want everyone to show up and have exposure to this information.
Great. And so, again, Sylvester, thank you for joining us. I want to thank our sponsors, the Coca-Cola Company, Georgia Power, the Cox Communication Companies, and to everyone who's listening. We truly appreciate you being a part today. We'll see you next week on Let's Talk Small Business.